Please give attention as we receive our much-needed exhortation, Brother Jamie.
Good morning, brothers, sisters, young people, and friends. Start by saying it's always amazing how, even if I don't pick the hymns, they always seem to fit in perfectly with the intended thought this morning. Myself and Brother Dan were at a job the other day, and a contractor showed up, and he started talking, and he told us about an airplane that was shot down by Russia over Ukraine, and that Israel had sent ground troops into Gaza and went about the world financial issues and became almost frantic in the way that he talked, and he didn't know what was happening in the world. This is the first draft of an exhortation that I delivered on July 20th, 2014. That airplane, of course, was Malaysia Flight 17. And although it was 9.5 years ago, like most things, we can take yesterday's news and overlay it with today. Because history itself does repeat itself again and again. And this is why people should know history. And unfortunately, in today's climate, it is obvious that most people in the world do not know or do not choose to believe it. The USA and other allied forces took pictures and film of the liberation of the concentration camps during World War II because they said we need to record this so as it will never be forgotten and hopefully never repeated. But even so, today, there is a growing number of Holocaust deniers. Man is a creature of habit, plain and simple. And generation by generation, we make the same mistakes. Even though our elders say, learn from my mistakes, we very seldom do. Every time the children of Israel turned from God, things went poorly for them. God punished them. And every time they called on him for forgiveness, he did. And they prospered, but they would eventually slide away again, over and over. And he would try to teach them, and he would think that they would have remembered and not repeated the same mistakes. Human nature does not change on its own. God never changes. The young are going to change the world. They go off to college and they're educated on the wrongs of the world and how society needs to be progressive. And generation after generation, this is what has happened in the Western world. Protests for this and that, rallies, marches. And society has changed. The main change is that they have forgotten about God and his ways. And have drifted so far away from his principles and commands that it is almost unbelievable. But it is believable because history repeats itself, and God told us this. In Jude, verse 7 and 8, as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality, and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also, these dreamers defile the flesh. They reject authority, and they speak evil of dignitaries. Let's look at this word, dreamer. The Cambridge Dictionary states, a person who spends a lot of time thinking about or planning enjoyable events that are not likely to happen. Webster says, one who lives in a world of fancy and imagination, one who has an idea or conceives projects regarded as impractical. Collins Dictionary says they spend a lot of time thinking about or planning for things that they would like to happen, but which are improbable or impractical. Also referred to as visionaries or idealists. Idealist is one who places ideals before practical consideration. Today, people no longer think that those descriptions are negative or insulting, but they are rather proud of these terms. It is progressive thinking. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And beginning at verse 17. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those of us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring it to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews, it is a stumbling block, and to the Greeks, foolishness. But to those who are called both Jew and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. And over in Job 28, Job chapter 28, beginning at verse 12. But where can wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Man does not know its value, nor is it found in the land of the living. The deep says it is not in me, and the sea says it is not with me. It cannot be purchased for gold, nor can silver be weighed for its price. It cannot be valued in gold of Ophir, in precise onyx or sapphire. Neither gold nor crystal can equal it, nor can it be exchanged for jewelry of fine gold. No mention shall be made of the coral and the quartz. For the price of wisdom is above rubies. Wisdom cannot be bought. But rather in verse 28, and to man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. Proverbs chapter 1 verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And over a few more pages to Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10. The fear of the Lord is beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So how does this help us? Well, we're human, and we are of this world. We live in Western society. Brother Matthew Bennett brought out a very subtle thought the other night. Jesus ate with the social outcasts, the tax collectors and the sinners, because they were the ones that needed him. Do we fit into society? Do we blend in? Are we accepted by the society around us? But as human, suffering with human nature, we are prone to repeating our own history, which means sin. We have to fight hard not to sin, not to fall into the arms of the society around us that mixes the word and message of God so much that it has no real meaning. Genesis 6, verse 5 tells us that man's heart is evil continually, but the world around us said that man is naturally good-hearted. The exact opposite. So we have to work hard to know our history. That means the Bible. Not to be fooled or to be swayed away. We turn over to Galatians chapter 1. It's Galatians chapter 1. Commencing in the first verse, Paul, an apostle, not from men, nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, to all the brethren who are with me, to the churches of Galatia, grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever. Amen. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Jesus. I marvel in how you are turning away so soon. Almost as if he knew that sometime after converting or being baptized, there is a sliding backwards to their, our sinful ways. Now we can say that we are years in the faith now, and we are good, and we are past all of that, much like Job did. But if you turn with me to Revelation chapter 2, Revelation chapter 2, verse 1, to the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things say, he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands, I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say that they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have preserved and have patience, and have labored for my name's sake, and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have these against you, that you have left your first love. Over the page to verse 13. I know your works, and where you dwell, where Satan's throne is, and you hold fast to my name, and did not deny my faith, even in the days in which Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was killed among you where Satan dwells. But I have a few things to say against you, because you have there those who behold the doctrine of Balaam and talk Balak, to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit sexual immorality. Down a few more verses to verse 19. I know your works, love, service, and faith, and your patience. And as for your works, the last are more than the first. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you, because you allow that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants, and to commit sexual immorality, and to eat things sacrificed to idols. Nevertheless, but I have a few things to say. That comes from Jesus, which ultimately comes from our Lord God in heaven. We are never as good as we think that we are. Jesus knew that. Over in Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, verse 17. Now, as he was going out on the road, one came running and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And so Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God." So here we are. The world at large is lost, doomed to repeat its sinful past. We are not as good as we think that we are, and we are at danger to revert back to our sinful ways. Do we just throw in the towel? Do we just give up? Do we stop trying? Well, obviously not. Because unlike the world, we have accepted God's call. We read his word, and we join here in fellowship around the table of our absent Lord. And as such, we have the biggest and the best, the most understanding and compassionate being in our corner cheering us on. And that, of course, is our Father in heaven. And he helps us, even if we don't know, even if we feel that we are being punished, because things happen in our lives for a reason, God's reasons. And sometimes it's almost impossible to see how, because life can throw some very cruel, hurtful things in our way. But as long as we look to God for help and guidance, he will give that to us. About 5 weeks ago, I had a conversation with Sister Sandra in the kitchen just before meeting. And we were talking about family and the truth and how things can be hard. Things are a struggle. Things can be very stressful. And at one point I said, God sometimes puts a tree in the middle of the road. And that is to help us make the correct turn. To which Sandra said, "Well, that would make a good basis for an exhortation." So here we are. And really, that is what God does do for us. He puts things in front of us so that we have to make a choice. Do I turn left? Do I turn right? For me, about to hit a tree, I would turn left, putting as much distance between myself and the tree as possible. But then one must ask the question, what if you have a passenger in the car? Now, which way do you turn? The only answer I could come up with is that we need to slow down, to take the time to react, so that there is no crash at all. So many things are considered stumbling blocks, but they are simply God working in our lives to help guide us. Yes, it is still ultimately our choice, and God will keep intervening if we allow him, to keep helping us to try to make the right choice. We must look at situations like Abraham and Isaac, such a major test. God did not want Abraham to sacrifice his son, but he wanted to test him. Saul being blinded while walking on the road, it was not a punishment to him, but a lesson to help him for those 3 days to focus on nothing else but the word of Jesus. He was not distracted by anything that he saw. I personally feel that he had lingering issues with his eyesight. At least he did in his later years. And that must have been a constant lesson for him. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Pardon me. Hebrews 11 and verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. God chastens those that he loves. We turn over a page to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 5. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. For what son is there whom the Father does not chasten? And without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. I know personally that I can look back at my life and I can see where God has put something right in front of me. And obviously I have not made the correct choices. And I've paid the ultimate price. Other times I can look back and see where I did make the right choice. And I prospered by using God's word, not myself. The lesson is to slow down so that we have time to go over the options and to look at things with the perspective and the lens of the truth and not our own gut reaction, because that is seldom right, seldom untrue, and it is full of bias. The world, society around us is almost in a rush, in a panic, to get instant results. Buy now, the sale won't last. But the reality is the sale happens every holiday or at least every quarter. God, however, is patient and long-suffering, and we are to be like him. It is way too easy for us to get caught up with the world and to fall into society. Whether it is believing in a cause or joining a club or belonging to a group, all of which is innocent and fine, as long as we are influencing with the word and knowledge of God and not being influenced away from God. Today's society is full of victimhood and people suffering, people being oppressed, something tragic happened to me, followed with the phrase, you just don't understand. You don't know what it's like. No, I don't. Because we live in such a rich society, able to do as we please. During the pandemic, there were supply chain issues. Things cost way more now than what they ever have, but it is still right there at our fingertips. It's not like war-torn countries, not like in World War II where there was rationings, air raids where people had to run to the bomb shelters, famine in different lands that we see around us, droughts. But our society complains and says, what about me? I'm special. Not only do I deserve, but I am owed. This is why fitting into society is so dangerous, because it is so selfish. If you were not told that you were a victim, not told that you were suffering, not told that you were owed something, you would simply live your life. Things happen in our lives. If God is working in our lives, it is to lead us to the kingdom. It is His great pleasure to give that to us. Every choice, every decision in our life, we have to take the time to use His lens. It will always help us make the right choice. Hardships happen to make us stronger. That is God's point. We must know our Bibles. We must know the history so that every time something comes before us, we take the time, we weigh the odds, we put away our own decisions and go with what God would want. But without knowledge, there is simply no wisdom, which then is just folly and foolishness. And we will repeat our past.